feel bad that Boston wasn't here today, because normally when I'm up here joining the spontaneous choir, Boston will sit right there and make faces at me. But he wasn't here today, so. Let's continue in worship. If the ushers would come forward, we'll give you an opportunity to give to the Lord. For your willingness to give. I'm going to actually open in prayer before we read scripture. There's a lot of scripture that I'm going to be covering today, so it might just be easier to focus now. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given me to stand before your people, Lord, and to deliver a message from you. Father, I just pray that it wouldn't be my thoughts, my ideas, but yours. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to the hearts and the minds of your people, Lord, that you would reveal the truth through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so my message actually took a detour. What I was originally planning on doing based on what I had been studying, what I had been reading, kind of took a detour based on the revealing of truth through scripture and kind of needing to set the groundwork in order to do possibly the next message. So I want to start off with Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 through, 20-something. This is going to kind of set the groundwork for where we're going today. This is what kind of spoke to my heart in order to change my direction. So Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13. This is after the resurrection of Christ and on the road to Emmaus. "And behold, when two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or 7 miles, give or take, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Ye and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen, or also seen, a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it so, even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So in other words, when we study scripture, scripture speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. Beginning at Moses, he talked to them about the beginning scriptures that they had, right? The Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, right? The books of Moses, the books that Moses wrote through the inspiration of God, and the prophets, the scriptures that they had, he spoke to them about himself. So where I was going is where we'll go, but it's going to be a little bit different study. So we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if scripture speaks of Jesus Christ speaking of himself, this is going to be a very familiar story to all of you, I would assume. Might take you back to the flannel graph days, right? David and Goliath. There's been many interpretations of what this story, no, an account, a real life event that took place in history. But this speaks to more than just David and Goliath. There's a bigger picture here, as scripture reveals, according to what Christ says, reveals himself. So this is going to set kind of the groundwork for where next time, possibly, we will go. So I'm going to read the entire chapter 17. But we'll take a little bit of time and dissect it as we go along, just to get the fullness of what this is about. Chapter 17, 1 Samuel. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. So here the Philistines are in Judah, right? God's chosen land, chosen people. Were they supposed to be there? No, they weren't, right? They were in God's land. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So here they are, setting themselves up for a battle, right? They're positioning themselves for a battle. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, setting themselves apart from each other. Here we go. And there was a valley in between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So depending on what interpretation of a cubit is, some would say it's 18 inches, some would say 22 inches. Doesn't really matter per se. Goliath is a ginormous human being, right? 9.5, 10 feet tall, possibly 11 feet tall. For the sake of argument, we'll say he's 10 feet tall, just to kind of give us a round number. This is a big guy, big giant. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, 200 plus pounds. So I weigh 200 pounds, in case you're interested. I could be his coat. I weigh as much as Goliath's coat would weigh. If I was to put 200 extra pounds on a jacket right now, I wouldn't be able to stand. My knees would buckle. This guy was huge. He was also a champion. You would think of a champion in most cases as maybe never beaten, and I would say in this case, never beaten. He was a champion, right? You can't beat me. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, shin guards, if you will, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. I had to look up this idea of a weaver's beam. And so those who would weave would have a beam across that their string would hang on, right? And they would weave. The thing wasn't small. It wasn't like just little, right? And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, 25 pounds, roughly. So if you figure a spear with a 25-pound head on it, would have to be pretty long in order to keep a balance, right? So in order that Goliath could throw this thing at people, right? This thing had to be ginormous. This guy is huge. He's a huge giant, okay? This isn't just some little guy that we're making up. This is a real human being walking the face of the earth, big. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. So Goliath is ready for a battle. He wants this to take place, right? You can't beat me, so send somebody down. Let's do this because you guys are going to serve me. I'm the giant. I'm taking charge, right? And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. I'm not paying attention to what you guys are doing. I'm my own person. This is my world. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So here they're setting their battle in array, right? They're positioning themselves. Now all of a sudden this giant comes forward, taunting them, saying, let's go, let's do this. And the armies of God were afraid. Saul himself was afraid. Why do you think Saul was afraid? So if you got this big, giant, tall guy out there, you're probably going to want to send your best, right, to fight this guy. Somebody's got to do it. Knowing from Scripture, Saul was head and shoulders above everyone else. Saul was the tallest guy. So, in essence, I'm not going to send some short guy. Probably going to send the tallest, biggest guy that we've got in order to go fight this guy, right? That would have been Saul. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. So Jesse was an older man. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So David originally was with Saul. If you were to look back at chapter 16, verse 23, just kind of gives an idea what was going on. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So David was playing his harp because he was talented in music, right? Playing his harp for Saul. But at this point, now David is going to go back to tend to the flock while Saul goes to battle. And David was the youngest in the 3 of, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days is used a lot in Scripture. There's some interpretation that it means maybe like the entirety of a challenge. Some would say that 40 days just means a long time, right? It rained for 40 days, 40 nights on the earth during the flood. Jesus wandered, was tempted in the desert for 40 days by Satan, right? So maybe it's just a fullness of time or a really long time. Regardless, Goliath was there taunting these people day and night for a long time. Okay? He was challenging them, taunting them, making them afraid. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. So they were prepared to go to battle again. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper in the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted or greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, and out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So he was saying the same thing over and over, send out a man, right? And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They're afraid. Their day begins, and here's this giant again. Why won't he leave? Leave us alone. And all the men of Israel, when they saw him, fled. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? David wants to know, what'd you say? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. So David wants to know, so whoever goes out and kills this guy is getting these rewards, these riches? And Eliab, his eldest brother, David's eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You only came down because you want to see us get whooped. I know who you are. You don't care what's really going on. You just want to see us get throttled. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same matter. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, wanting to know what was going to be given to him who killed him, They rehearsed them before Saul, and then Saul sent for David. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a youth, and he be a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me, that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon David's head, and also he armed him with his own coat of mail. And David took up his sword of armor, and he essayed to go. He hesitated to go, for he had not proved what he had put on. "This doesn't fit. I can't wear this. I've never even used it before." So David took it off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine, Goliath, looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and a ruddy and of a fair countenance. So he was kind of picture this little tan guy, right? Doesn't look like a warrior. Just looks like a little kid. And I'm 10 feet tall. What's this little punk doing out here, right? You're going to send him? And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that they come out with me with staves or sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." In essence, you're dead meat. I'm going to tear you apart. You're done, right? Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, right? Most of us, yeah, we would run, but we would run the opposite direction, not toward Goliath. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and hit the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David said what he was going to do, wanted to make sure it happened, right? Goliath wasn't just knocked out. He's dead. Why? I cut off his head and here it is. Sounds gruesome, right? But it's battle. It's full defeat. And the men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. In essence, they were running the Philistines out of their land. And they wounded of the Philistines fell down the way of Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. They celebrated the victory. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" Like, Saul didn't know who this was. He couldn't believe what had happened. "Whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I can't tell." And the king said, "I inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So there's the account of David and Goliath, right? Is this just a story of you can do it, right? All of you be like David and you can conquer the world. No. Granted, there's truth to that, and Scripture reveals to us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But this is a story, an account, if we read it according to what Jesus says, this is a battle between Jesus and Satan. Entire Scripture, Old Testament, would speak of the truth of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah, right? So David was a type of Christ. He wasn't Christ, but he was a type of Christ. If you look back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, then Samuel took the horn of oil, verse 13, and anointed him in the midst of his brother, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. David was chosen by God. He was anointed by God. Jesus Christ, Christ meaning anointed one, right? Chosen by God to come to what? Save the world from our sins, right? Jesus Christ was anointed. David was anointed, chosen by God. Secondly, sent by his father. Jesus Christ was sent by his father. David was sent by his father. Verse 17, here's David bringing loaves of bread to feed his brothers, right? They needed sustenance. They needed food to be sustained for the battle. What did Jesus Christ do? Came from the Father. He didn't bring bread to you and I, but he is the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 33 says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse 35, shorter words, I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Anointed, sent by the Father, bringing bread. Thirdly, rewards, right? There's a reward. David was seeking a reward for this battle. What was he to gain? Saul's daughter for a wife. Riches, being made free. What did Jesus Christ come to do? A reward. Who's his bride? You and I. We are the reward. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You and I are the inheritance of Jesus. He inherits you and I. He wants us. We are the bride of Christ, right? Jesus came in order for riches, right? He also makes us free. John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus speaking to the Jews who believed. Yes. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's truth that sets us free. Christ is truth. Pilate would ask, what is truth? Jesus would say in Scriptures, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So we see that David, rewards, wife, riches, and freedom in Christ. Christ came to collect us as his bride, right? His inheritance. We will be made free because Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Fourthly, scorned and rejected. David, we see here in verse 28, his brothers, why did you come down here? I know who you are. You just want to see us get whooped. You don't need to be here. Brothers didn't want him there. What about Jesus? John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Speaking of his brothers, John chapter 7, verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart thence and go into Judea, that they... that the disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And verse 5 says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. His brothers didn't even believe in who he was. We see the same thing here in David. David's coming to conquer. His brothers, nah, that's not why you're here. I don't believe that's what you're here for. Fifthly, David was strengthened by his experiences. David speaks about the lion and the bear that came to take one of the sheep and how God delivered this lion and the bear into his hands. Hebrews chapter 5, speaking of Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. It was his life. He learned. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus lived a life just as you and I live. He understood, right? He learned from his experiences. David learned from his experiences. Also, you can see the connection there that David left the sheep to go rescue the one. Jesus is the one who would leave the 99 to go find the one, right? Number six. This is vitally important that we understand this, because if we don't get this part, none of it really makes any sense or has any bearing point. Stripped of his armor. So here David is going out to battle, right? Saul arms him with what Saul had. And David said, no, this stuff doesn't fit me. It's not going to work. I trust in the Lord. The Lord will deliver the Philistine into my hand. So he goes out without armor on. What about Jesus? Philippians chapter 2, and this is what we really need to understand. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So when Jesus Christ came to do his battle against sin, right, to be tempted of Satan, he was God. But did he use his godly powers? No. He laid all that aside because he came to be the form of a servant. But then you say, well, how did he do the miracles? How did he heal the blind? Same way you and I have the abilities. Prayer to the Father. Did Jesus not go and pray to the Father consistently, asking the Father to give him the strength for this, to give him the strength for that, being tempted by Satan in the desert? He used scripture, right? He was God. He could have done whatever he wanted to. But in that moment in time, he was a man, the man of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, right? Gave up his godly powers, laid it all aside. We have to understand that Jesus Christ, yes, he was God, but in this moment in time, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he was 100% man, relying on God the Father, his Father, for the power. You and I have the same opportunity to rely on God for the power. Seventh, strong in his faith. David went into this battle not in himself being strong, right? But knowing that God would deliver this Philistine into his hands. Telling Goliath, this guy that's probably 6 feet taller than David, maybe 5 feet, I don't know, just ginormous and huge. Telling him that I'm going to cut your head off and feed you to the birds and whatever else out there wants to eat you. Strong in faith, right? His faith wasn't in himself, his own abilities, for he's going out with a sling and a stone. I wouldn't have much confidence in that. But he didn't come in that regard. He came in the strength of the Lord. Jesus was strong in his faith. John chapter 2. They would say, show us a sign. And Jesus would answer them in verse 19 and say unto them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Verse 20, they say 46 years it took to build that temple. You think you're going to make it rise in 3 days? Jesus wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about his body. Strong in faith, knowing that God would give him the ability, right, to conquer death, conquer all of it. In 3 days, he will rise from the dead. That's not normal, right? Strong in faith, strong in knowing what God was capable of doing. And 8, using the enemy's weapon against him. We see David taking the sword, Goliath's sword, right? Standing on top of Goliath, you're conquered, taking Goliath's sword to cut his head off. Victory is won, right? David uses Goliath's sword, his armor, his weapon. What about Jesus? Christ was crucified on the cross. I have a feeling that Satan, knowing what the cross represented during those times, that it was the most shameful, painful way to die, to hang on a cross, more or less to suffocate. Jesus Christ was beaten and whipped beyond what you could even imagine. You couldn't even recognize him. I'm pretty sure Satan was thinking, this is perfect. This is exactly what needed to take place. This guy thinks he's going to defeat me. Oh no, I'm going to put him on display for all to see. Up on a hill, here's your God, right? This is what you guys wanted. Look at him now. Jesus used that same cross to conquer death. What Satan thought was his own ploy to destroy Jesus, Jesus used that exact same thing against Satan, to destroy Satan, to conquer death, to conquer the world. This battle was won, this account, this battle was won solely by David. We see here that the army of Israel celebrated in the victory, right? They didn't do anything. They all stood back afraid, running, standing there for 40 days, waiting for this guy just to leave, right? They wanted him out of their land. David took it upon himself through the strength of God to go to battle. The battle was won solely by David. The battle was won solely by Jesus Christ. It's through him and him alone that we have communion with God the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. None of us did anything to help. It was all done by Jesus. This account, this picture, this story, what we're seeing here is Jesus Christ, right? He came to set us free. So here we see the Israelite army not fighting for the victory, but fighting from the victory. You and I are given the same opportunity given to us by Christ to fight from the victory. The battle has been won by Jesus Christ. You and I now can fight the fight because of what Jesus Christ has done. So going forward from here, the next step would be our giants. What is it that you and I face on a day-to-day basis of giants? Who's standing before you every single morning telling you you're absolutely no good and you can't do it? The giant, David, was sent to defeat him. Jesus Christ came and already defeated your giants. So we have an opportunity to celebrate in what Jesus has done for us. Knowing this story, this account, and I'm sure all of you have studied this before. Maybe you've already heard this idea that this is a picture of Jesus Christ. But I think so many times we read Scripture and we forget that it's all about Jesus, right? It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And we are given freedom and strength through what Christ has done for us. So what are your giants? What do you face on a day-to-day basis? What are you trying to fight on your own? You and I are not called to be David. Jesus Christ is David. We get to celebrate the victory that Christ has provided for us. So your homework would be to think about your giants. Maybe you think you don't have any. They don't have to be large and in charge like Goliath was. They can be small. What gets you hung up? What keeps you from enjoying what Christ has done for you? What do you struggle with on a day-to-day basis? I have Plenty of them. A lot of them. And it's because I try to fight them on my own. I can't do it on my own. Why don't I celebrate the victory that Christ has already provided? My giants have already been defeated. So why am I giving them life? Right? We all have that. Think about that. Think about what Christ has done for you, but think about the giants that you continue day in and day out trying to conquer on your own, that you just can't do it. Let them go. They've already been defeated by Christ. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this time that you've given us to come together to hear your truth, Lord, to dig into Scripture, Lord, and to find the truth and reality of you. Father, I would just pray as we go out throughout this week, Lord, that we would think about the things that cause us to stumble, our strongholds, things that we just won't give up, things that are standing before us, shouting our name, telling us that we're no good, that we can't do it. Father, let us just rely upon you, knowing that you have already defeated those giants. Satan has been defeated once and for all, that there's no reason that we have to try to continue to ask for you to go defeat that. It's already been done. Freedom is found in you. So, Father, we just love you and praise you for who you are and for what you've done for us and continue to do for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.